so what is your name, sir?
Well, my name is Alfonso Villa. My ABC number is 246862.
Okay, who's gonna be my house? Okay, the honorable Mr. Cervantes will conduct your hearing, sir.
Sir, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, I can.
Can you state your full name and your ABC number again?
Yes, Carlos Bartolo de Villa, Jr., 246862.
Thank you, sir, and good morning.
Good morning.
Referring you for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding your community supervision. This hearing is regarding the one alleged violation listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you this hearing at least 5 days ago. I see that you signed that form on March 16, 2018. Is that correct, sir?
Yes.
That form listed your hearing rights. One of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. Seeing no attorney with you in the room, are you representing yourself today, sir?
Yes, I guess so.
Thank you. I would like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting the hearing. If you can see on the video conference screen, the individual sitting closest to you is me. My name is Louis Quinones, and I'll be serving as the panel chairman for this hearing. To my immediate right is Honorable Mr. David Neal. At the center of the bench is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. After him is the Honorable Ms. Gail Rittenhouse, and at the far end of the bench is the Honorable Mr. Michael Johnson. Also present in the room is our Community Corrections Officer, Mr. Grady, and he'll be representing the Department of Corrections as well as your parole officer. Before we get started, morning, sir. Before we get started, I need to swear you in. So Mr. Padilla and Mr. Grady, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, or so you affirm?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Mr. Padilla, this hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one will be to determine if you violated the conditions of community supervision, with phase two deciding if supervision should be continued or revoked. When I read the allegation to you, you need to respond whether it is true or false. If you believe an allegation is false, the board will take further testimony from the Department of Corrections, and then we can talk about it. But keep in mind, the board members will make the final determination whether or not you violated your conditions. Do you understand what I just explained to you, sir?
Yes, I do.
I will begin phase one by reading from the warrant of arrest. According to the warrant, you violated the conditions of supervision and have lapsed or probably about to lapse in a couple of ways or company as follows. Allegation number one, violation of condition number 12, as demonstrated by your failure to report to the Black Canyon Regional Parole Office located at 801 South 16th Street, Phoenix, Arizona, by February 26, 2018, after discharge from your approved residence at Vigway RCBM program, 2501 West Elm Street, Phoenix, Arizona, on February 23, 2018. Your whereabouts were unknown, thus you were an absconder from supervision. Mr. Padilla, is this true or false?
It's true.
Thank you, sir. Based on Mr. Padilla's admission, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision that he may have or have lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Agree.
Is that seconded by Mr. Johnson?
Yes.
And agreed upon by Dr. Wright, Mr. Neal, Ms. Rittenhouse. Okay, Mr. Padilla, we're going to continue the second phase of your hearing. During this phase, the board will determine whether your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, please stand by as Mr. Grady is going to give us additional background information. If you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you momentarily for questions, and you'll be able to speak to the board in detail. Mr. Grady.
Mr. Padilla, the relation DOC on December 26th of 2017, he was arrested on March 2nd of 2018 by Arizona DPS. He has no new charges. He was returned back to DOC on March 2nd of 2018. He was in the CSED of May 30th of 2018. It reflects four abscond days. Current conviction, 2017, danger drug violation, 1 year, 6 months. 2017, criminal trespass, first degree, 1 year. Prior conviction, 2009, misconduct involving weapons, 1 year, 6 months. He has two terms of DLC, his CEIR scores are 2-2, mental health scores are 3, substance abuse scores are 2. He has no gang affiliation. prior term for supervision, 2010, TIS release, arrested on tech violation, revoked by the BOC. Disciplinary violation to minimum, other arrest, 2008, criminal damage, Arizona disciplinary conviction, probation, 2010, controlled substance violation, California, misdemeanor conviction, probation, 2015, disorderly conduct, Arizona misdemeanor conviction, probation, 2016, dangerous drug violation, Arizona felony conviction, probation. He has a community risk score of a G4V5.
Thank you, Mr. Grady. Back to you, Mr. Padilla. I'm going to make a quick review of your case supervision summary. It looks like that you were released from the Department of Correction to reside at Reborn, 2546 West Orangewood Avenue, Phoenix, Arizona. You were discharged from Reborn Assistance on December 29, 2017 for being intoxicated and attempting to start a fight with another client. You were approved to reside at TLC, 9430 North 11th Avenue in Phoenix. You left TLC on your own on January 10, 2018 and failed to return. On January 23, 2018, you were placed in the 90-day ITH program at the Maricopa Reentry Center. On February 9, 2018, you were discharged from MRC.
Because those are not coming on my compromise, and it's just that they looked me up at the mandate program and seen that I was taking medication. And since they couldn't give me the medication at that facility, they let me out to be here. That's what happened there.
Thank you, sir. And it looks like on February 23rd, you were discharged from B-Ray for not complying with rules and possessions of drug paraphernalia. And that was your last known address. I'm going to double-check with something before further questions, Mr. Padilla. Mr. Grady, did you say he had absconded for 4 days or 40 days?
So 4 days.
4 days. I just want to make sure there was a short amount of time. Okay, so 4 days.
I just want to state that it was a man with an empty beer can in it, actually. They just reported it as drug paraphernalia. Maybe they told me, pretty much probably just called my field and reported it as drug paraphernalia. I don't know, but it was a beer can inside of a trash bag that they found in there. But we're not supposed to have any type of thing like that on the property, so.
Okay, sir. We have some program. Well, let me ask you a quick question. Were you working at all when you were outside of prison?
I was volunteering. I was doing, communication work for them. I was always volunteering, so I was working around to pay my man at the actual house.
Okay, sir. We have some programming notes that you assigned a task for random your analysis. On January 24th, you had a positive for THC. You had some negatives, which we commend you for. You had a negative but diluted in February of 2018, and one that you missed in late February on the 23rd. Again, you were discharged from ITH on 2/9/2018 for excessive mental health needs, which you accounted for, so we appreciate your honesty. Some sanctions notes from your community corrections officers said that you've been homeless for 2 weeks and would like to continue on parole. You admitted to frequent alcohol and marijuana use with his last use on January 21st, 2018. You had an absconding warrant that was quashed, but it looks like they absconded again, and that's what appears to have resulted in you being violated and returned to the correction system. So what was going on for the 4 days that you were missing from community supervision?
It was actually on Friday that I got discharged, and I had planned to go to the homeless shelter and then get a hold of my PO on Monday. Turns out I didn't get there on time. I got on the wrong bus, and it took me a day to get a bus ticket. Once I got there, it was a long trip to pass, and I didn't have too much money. So what happened was, as I waited, I pretty much camped out on the bus till the next morning. I ended up calling my PO on exactly Tuesday, but I didn't get a hold of him verbally. I pretty much just left a message with him saying that I was still trying to get to that window. Then I got discharged from the gateway and got there late. I had to house the email on a couple of days, but they didn't out, and that's exactly what I did. But before I managed to get there, I got pulled over at the bus stop for sleeping there, which I couldn't. And I told them, hey, I'm trying to get there, so I'm halfway up to the homeless shelter to be able to come and appeal tomorrow and face this out. I said, so pretty much I got discharged on Friday, and I didn't call me until the following Tuesday. So I'm pretty sure he found out Monday with the warrant, but when I finally got hold of him Tuesday, it was just his voicemail. So I figured I'd get to the homeless shelter and then call him again. Because it was hard, nobody was going to be the phone, and it was just hard to use it. But I mean, I did that, so I literally was lost around the area. I fell asleep directly, I downed off from the homeless shelter, but it was really late at night, and I just said, I'm asleep right there in the morning, asked the ladies out for directions exactly to it. So
sir, if I may interrupt, what was your homeless shelter?
Well, it was over there in Phoenix, it's called CAS. I had an ID card, I went over there and applied, got a little ID card to be able to go there whenever I needed to. So I was going over there to stay for the weekend, and I was over there to stay for the day, and go home and kill the next day. So now I fell asleep at the bus station because I ran out of the ticket to go make one trip, and so I fell asleep there, and by the time the DPS officer pulled me over there, and I just had a little message earlier that day with the PO, and I was going to go the next day, exactly the next day to tell him.
Okay, sir, if I may interrupt, when this DPS officer made contact with you, you were asleep at a bus stop?
Yes.
And was this downtown Phoenix?
Yes, it was. It was around, downtown Phoenix, yeah.
Okay, and I think you've pretty much accounted for quite a bit here. It was a short period that you absconded from supervision. I will say that it looks like that your parole officer was trying very hard to work with you. There were numerous moves that were approved as far as where you resided. I think you were given some leniency for alcohol and marijuana. So I'm not going to speak for your parole officer, but it would seem that you had kind of run out of chances with him because we're not missing for that long before he issued a warrant, although I think it's good that you were returned to the system, because it sounds like that you were having some struggles outside on the street, especially having to be homeless. I'm going to ask my fellow board members if they have any questions for you. Okay, Mr. Pavia, I have no questions from fellow board members. We're getting close to the end of your hearing. Is there a final statement you would like to make before we go into discussion? We only ask that you don't repeat yourself, but this is your hearing, so is there anything else you need to say?
Yes, I just wanted to say that I finally got in a membership at this homeless shelter, so if I do, get released, like I said, if I do, I'll be able to be square away at a place, it's already to my ERC date, so as long as I make it to my parole meetings, I'll be able to have to have it as a direct address, but I have no question. But even if I do, I don't know where I can go now, but I understand that I only have a little over a month left to do here, so whatever you guys know, that's what I'm doing. I understand because I was having a struggle out there. I was, and I just want to get this over with, and I'm just trying to get right myself out.
Thank you, Mr. Padilla. I have a quick question before we go into discussion. Do you have any family or support in Phoenix?
Well, no, they're in Newman, but see, Newman didn't have. I had a traffic in charge with two of my grandmother and a DV between me and my father once, so that was on record, so I couldn't go to
Newman.
Okay. They told me I needed to go to Phoenix or Tucson to parole, so I was out there with me and my name, and I didn't have any
sir. The board's going to go into discussion now. It may sound like we're speaking with you directly, but is the board discussing the case amongst itself before we come to our individual votes under the open meeting laws of Arizona? So, Mr. Padilla, if you'll just remain on the phone, we'll come back to you shortly with our decision. Thank you, sir.
I would just like to say that I do have my family in Yuma. They all got a lot. They will help me out.
Okay, sir. I did take into consideration that you do have family in Yuma, and I will bring that up during our discussion. But we're going into discussion now, okay, sir? Thank you, sir. The board is now in discussion. Fellow board members, I recognize that Mr. Padilla was missing from community supervision for only 4 days, but it sounds like that he had greater issues dealing with residents living in the greater Phoenix area, homelessness, and some ongoing use with alcohol and marijuana, which in and of itself were a violation of his conditions. And it sounds like that he's separated from his support in Yuma. I heard his comment that there seems like that there had been some sort of domestic violence that would have kept him from placement back home. And what I'm thinking is, with so little time left on his flat prison sentence, he might be best served to take advantage of these last weeks to put together a plan for a safe return to the community, not to mention any needs that he might need in terms of perhaps some behavioral health issues. And upon his release, he would be able to return to support in Yuma without any more oversight from community corrections. But that's the way I see it, and I am certainly open to the input of my colleagues. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion and see where the votes land, and that is, pardon me, based on the information provided to us in warrant number 2018-W0602, I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. Padilla was delinquent, violated the terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse in a criminal race or company. Seconded by Mr. Neal, agreed upon by Dr. Wright, Mr. Johnson, and Ms. Rittenhouse. Mr. Padilla, your supervision has been revoked and been released on or about May 30th, 2018. We ask that you do not look at this as a negative. We considered your experience when you were out in the street when you were in Phoenix, and it sounds like that your support's in Yuma. So upon your release next month, you'll be able to work out your return to Yuma. You won't have to deal with community supervision or any of the restrictions associated with your conditions of release, and you can return to your support group. So we do wish you the best. We hope you are safe. Wish you a safe and productive return to the community. This hearing is concluded, and we'd appreciate it if you give the phone to your CO3. Thank you, Mr. Padilla.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.